Ladies and gentlemen, that is the fight song of the Miami Redhawks, the alma mater of the gentleman who joins us right now on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline, and of suddenly available NFL head coach John Harbaugh. It's Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
What's happening, Chris?
That would be the undefeated mighty Miami Redhawk.
How about that?
Incredible.
Yeah, really big win incredible. Over the Akron Zips the other day. Brothers coaching against each other, John Gross and Travis Steele.
Yeah. Let's hope they build up enough resume where if they have a little slippage somewhere down the road in that MAC tournament that, they don't get denied. But, wow, what an incredible run for mighty Miami.
Absolutely. Congratulations. Now, as a Miami alum,
yeah,
can you get busy? Can you get John on the phone? John, yeah. Chris here. I know we haven't seen each other since the last Red Hawk alum meeting, but I have family in Cleveland. You can stay with them when you're looking for your new place. What can you do for us, Chris Rose?
Well, we did have a nice talk a few years ago at the at NFL Honors. We talked a lot about Miami.
See?
I'm not so sure whether that means I could get through today to him to change whatever plans he already has in terms of probably visiting the New York area for one. I would like to say I have some pull. I'm going to guess it probably isn't in this area.
Is he number one on your coaching list for the Cleveland Browns, Chris?
Well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't he be? We talked about this possibility over a month ago, and I said, be careful what you wish for if the Browns do move on from Kevin Stefanski, because the list of coaches will not – it doesn't mean that they won't be successful. It just means it's not – it doesn't have the wow factor that it had last year with Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel being available. I mean, it just didn't. And then things changed less than 24 hours ago. And I guarantee you there's a bunch of coaches that think they're employed right now for 2026 that are on shaky ground because John Harbaugh, I think, is that good at his job.
And apparently his agent has heard from seven teams. He wouldn't have heard from the Ravens. So there's somebody who has a coach who inquired.
Yeah, believe what was written in The Athletic today, it's upwards of nine.
So, I don't doubt that.
I don't either. I don't either. And why, if you're an NFL, I mean, look, it happened last year in Jacksonville as well, from the personnel side of things, right? Trent Baalke was supposed to stay on. Chad Khan had made that announcement. And then, Liam Cohen comes in and they're like, nah, he's going to hit the road. So there are, whether it's personnel changes or head coaching changes that still could happen. I mean, I don't think that Joe Shane is feeling great about where he is today with the Giants, but who knows, maybe they'll keep him around so they don't have to change things. But my guess is that Harbaugh is going to, want some say in things.
Chris Rose joining us, NFL Network, John Boy Media, and of course a Cleveland guy. So he's thinking Browns, does Browns preseason games on the Browns preseason television network. I threw this out earlier, Chris, and I might be alone in this thought. I think there are other factors that go into decisions that coaches make, especially guys who have established track records. And my thought was, and this is nothing against the Haslams, with Steve Bisciotti, he had a really laid-back owner who loves stability, and the Haslams just gave Kevin Stefanski 6 years, and Andrew Berry's been here longer. I wonder, would he not want to work for as involved of an owner as the Haslams probably are? Not as involved as Jerry Jones, certainly, and the Haslams are allowed to do anything they want. Would he want to come to the team that he rooted for as a kid, where his mom's from Cleveland? Would those factors outweigh other factors here? That I think that's how he ends up here, if he ends up here at all, because I wouldn't think that the Browns would be his number one choice.
Well, I mean, I think the number one thing, and he's no dummy, particularly since he's leaving a two-time league MVP quarterback behind, is that.
Yeah.
Do I like the quarterback that's here? I mean, particularly if he's young, right? I mean, Jackson Dart, I don't know how much you watched him play, but he looked pretty good. I wouldn't say, like, wow, out of this world great, but certainly something that you can build upon. And I think that that's a big deal for guys who have choices. You know, I think that that's a – I don't know what percentage of the pie it is, but it's big. And unfortunately, we are – if you were to rank the seven job openings in terms of quarterback security, it's six or seven.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah, I mean, that's – you know, the Raiders are on the clock. So if they – if you like Mendoza, then you could say, well, I could work with the rest of it. If you did any work on Cam Ward and say, boy, they didn't have much around him, but I like kind of who he is and some of the throws he made this year, and I feel like I could work with him. And Jackson Dart, we just talked about him. The situation in Atlanta is obviously a little wonky, probably a lot wonky. Arizona, who knows whether the next coach wants to ride the Kyler Murray Express or not, or they want to go a different direction. But my point is this, is that with our situation, like, if you were to ask me who's going to take the first snaps of 2026, I have zero idea, really. I mean, I think it's either Shador or Deshaun Watson, but maybe something could surprise me. And how enticing is that? I don't know.
Chris Rose joining us on the hotline. Chris, what do you make of the Browns moving on from Kevin Stefanski and keeping Andrew Berry here?
I mean, first of all, I was sad because whenever there's a coaching change, it means something didn't work out. Yeah. And although I'm not surprised that Andrew stuck around, I will say this. I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on him to get this right. And, you know, what you're doing is you're kind of getting on board the front office head coaching teeter-totter. And when you don't bring in guys at the same time, that is the risk you run. How long does – I mean, if things go sideways next year, does Andrew become the one that bears the brunt of that responsibility? I don't know. All I can tell you is this, is that the area where this team has been the weakest in drafting over the last 6 years is the area where they have to be the best. And so the Browns made this decision. A lot of this pressure is on Andrew and his crew to get – the offensive line and the wide receiver room up to standard, because it is not close to where it needs to be right now. So now the one thing we don't know is what role Paul DePodesta played in that. You know, did he overrule some of the stuff when it came to the draft in terms of leading the analytics team when it came to leaning one way or another on offensive linemen and wide receivers? Because it just, quite frankly, has not been good enough. Go look at the dozen or so players we've drafted on the offensive line and wide receiver combined, and the best ones I can come up with are Jed Wills, and I guess like Tillman and DPJ are tied, I think, for wide receiver. Point is that those aren't —
you summed it up well.
You summed starting it up caliber well. Guys.
Yeah. How attractive is Kevin Stefanski to other teams?
I think pretty attractive. And I think nationally, obviously, the perspective on Kevin is significantly different than the one in Cleveland, right? Some national pundits or whomever's in front of a microphone these days, their only taste of Kevin Stefanski is how he handled the Shador Sanders situation. So they're like, blow him out. Here we go. This is the way it goes. Yeah, he didn't give him any first-team reps. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like, I don't think that's fair. Do I think that the Browns handled that situation well? Not great. I think if they had to do it all over again, they probably would look at it a little differently. It's probably a little bit more of an indictment on how they saw Dylan Gabriel. And I don't know where, I'll be honest with you, I don't know whose evaluation that was. I do wish that people would stop with the whole, well, look at the number of players we could have had at 94 instead. Folks, this draft was crushed. You could do that with every draft class. in the history of the sport for every team. You're always going to whiff. Nobody thought at 94 that they were getting a franchise quarterback. I think they felt like, and Andrew has said this, that we look at quarterback as a top 30 spot on the roster, meaning out of 53 spots, we think backup quarterback is that important. And I think that that's the way they looked at it. They felt like we could get a backup quarterback. The unfortunate thing is we didn't really have a starting quarterback when they made that choice. So that's the, to me, that's the faultiness of the, you know, of the decision. It's not that they took him. It's that there wasn't really a starter there to then have a credible backup with. Does that all make sense? Am I explaining it right?
Yes, okay. And I'm going to take what you said about playing the draft game and record it and replay it for the gentleman sitting to my left right now when he goes to do it later on.
Yeah, well, it's just like...
That's right. I'm throwing you right under the bus for that, Jeff.
Sure did.
You sure did, yeah. I just don't understand. We think we got a pretty good defensive tackle. It's always hard to tell with defensive tackles, particularly when they don't put up huge sack numbers, right? It's hard for us as just kind of common fans to tell how Mason Graham played.
We all like his upside, though, Chris. We like his upside.
Yeah, but he also, I think he played pretty well in this system.
Agreed.
Really did. Yep. Okay. Our 2 second-round picks, very good. Our first third-round pick, outstanding, right? And Dillon Gabriel was the 5th pick of this draft. He wasn't the 3rd pick, like a lot of third-rounders are. He was the 5th pick. So does it feel like a whiff? Yeah, it doesn't feel great. But nobody picked him to go number 94 overall. You tell me a team who is like, yep, 94th pick of the draft is going to be our starting quarterback. You go tell me one, because I can't find a team that's ever done that.
Your gut tells you the Browns end up with, I won't even ask who, but if you want to say who, fine. What kind of a coach? Coordinator? Former head coach? Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, I think that's the name I mentioned when we first did this merry-go-round about a possibility. I felt like he's a guy who... Yeah, who can get the offense back on track, who does have a history, and a good history. I mean, he's had a good... There's a lot of coaches in this league that have stalked the sidelines at some point who would take Mike McCarthy's resume in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. You know? Is he the ideal candidate? No. Because he's 62 instead of 42. And it doesn't feel... It skews old. Like old school football instead of innovative and moving forward.
Could say the same about John Harbaugh, age-wise.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah, you could say that about John Harbaugh. There are people that will, that will say that. There are people that will say, well, geez, you know, he won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, and Lamar Jackson can run laps around Joe Flacco talent-wise. So why didn't that happen? Over the last 5 years, his team blew a dozen games where they had a double-digit lead. That's a lot. So he does have things to answer for. But if I had to guess, I think McCarthy is a pretty good. I'm not going to say safe bet, but I think that's an acceptable answer on your paper, guys.
Chris, thank you for your time today, sir.
Appreciate it, man.
Always appreciate it.
Get on the phone with the Alumni Association. Make it work.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.